Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Thursday, January the 23rd, 2014. Now, our top story tonight is a reminder from the Syrian Electronic Army that CNN has been serving as nothing more than a propaganda arm for the Obama administration in this buildup for war in Syria. They took over their Twitter feed and they put out some interesting tweets. Said Obama bin Laden, the Lord of Terror, is brewing lies that the Syrian state controls al-Qaeda. He says, don't forget, al-Qaeda is al-Qaeda, funded, armed, and controlled. And, of course, that's exactly what Paul Joseph Watson was talking about in his article on InfoWars today, that al-Qaeda is the best enemy that money can buy. He points out that recent reports that al-Qaeda militants have taken over parts of Iraq serve as a stark reminder that the U.S. has for decades played a crucial role, both directly and indirectly, aiding the spread of terrorists around the Middle East and North Africa as a Machiavellian tool of neocolonialism, creating enemies as we need them. He says the reemergence of al-Qaeda in Iraq emphasizes how the U.S.'s near 9-year occupation of the country, during which hundreds of thousands of Iraqis, along with thousands of U.S. troops, were killed, was a colossal failure. And we've had congressmen, we've had Ted Cruz, as well as Dennis Kucinich, talk about how we don't want to be al-Qaeda's Air Force. It's not a secret, even though the people who are reporting this CNN hack of their, the hack of the CNN Twitter feed, even though they're scoffing at people calling al-Qaeda Obama's army and talking about how he's a lord of terror, that's exactly what has been happening. And it's no secret. Both Democrats and Republicans have been saying this. It's no longer anything that they're even trying to hide. And he points out here, this goes all the way back to 9/11. He points out at the bottom of the article, he says, barely weeks before 9/11, former members of al-Qaeda, who subsequently joined the Kosovo Liberation Army, were airlifted out of Macedonia by U.S. paratroopers, and as FBI translator Sibel Edmonds had revealed, the U.S. maintained intimate relations with bin Laden all the way until the day of September 11th. Now, it's not just war in the Middle East that we're concerned about and that we're tracking here. There's also a buildup of war in the Far East. We see a Harvard professor speaking in China. He's an expert on China. And he said that he's warning of a devastating China-Japan war. On the radio show today, Alex Jones talked to historian Margaret McMillan about current parallels to events that led up to World War I.
Thank you so much for coming on, Professor. And I want to get into the report I saw at the London Independent. Is it 1914 all over again? We are in danger of repeating the mistakes that started World War I, says a leading historian. So thanks for coming on and tell us about the parallels and your concern.
Well, there's some things that concern me. I mean, I don't think history ever repeats itself. I think we get similarities, but the conditions are so different. I mean, the 21st century is very different from 100 years ago. But I think what is concerning is we seem to have nationalist rivalries between countries. You have a rivalry developing, as you were mentioning earlier on, in the South China Seas, which has the potential for sparking off further tensions and conflicts. You have international ideologies. In the years before 1914, there were international ideologies of anarchists, for example. Today you have international ideologies, religious ideologies or ultra-religious ideologies. So I think we live in a slightly turbulent time. We have globalization. Both ages are very globalized, and I think you have people worried about the impact of globalization, perhaps turning to their homes and feeling rather defensive. So I think that there are similarities. I mean, I don't think we're bound to end up in the same way they did in 1914, but you always have to be careful.
I forget the exact quote, but basically history doesn't repeat, but it kind of rhymes. Who was it said that?
Mark Twain.
Mark Twain. And humans act the same, even though we have almost godlike weapons and technology now. It would be godlike, you know, to the ancients, Professor. But if you look at global crises, currency devaluations, armies lining up on borders, groups not compromising, really, I see the West driving conflict, and I'm obviously not a fan of what Russia and China do. I'm an American, and I'm, you know, a Westerner. But at the same time, I really see the West as filling the shoes of the villain in many respects compared to our position in the past. What's your take on that?
Well, I think human nature doesn't really change that much. I mean, I think we like to think we're a lot more sophisticated than the caveman. I'm not sure we are. I mean, I think we're still driven, at least in part, by emotions and fears. And I think what's really dangerous is when people lack or nations lack the ability to see things from the other person's point of view. And so what nations do to defend themselves and what we do to defend ourselves as individuals, we may think we're just being defensive, we're just looking out for ourselves, but that may really look like aggression from the other side. And I think that's when it gets dangerous, when you fail to understand what the other person might be thinking. And I think what's also dangerous, and you see it with individuals and you see it with nations again, is when their pride gets involved and when their prestige gets involved. I mean, you know, I think an analogy is the members of gangs, who are, to me, rather like knights in the Middle Ages. They'd rather die than be dishonored. And so I think this is a perennial strain in human nature. Now, we've got a more sensible side, and I think we've got a more reasonable side, and we've got a side where we do reach out, we do try and understand each other. So, you know, I never like to think that history is going to repeat itself, but I think we should be careful about being too complacent.
He said there's simmering anger in China that's highlighted by Japan's historical revisionism, which refuses to accept responsibility for the Second World War in their textbooks and schools. And he says, there's also the dispute over these islands. And then he also points out how the Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe just recently visited a shrine in Tokyo honoring 14 war criminals who were subsequently executed for war crimes by the Allies. Now, of course, remember that waterboarding was one of those crimes for which we executed Japanese war criminals. But we brought over a lot of war criminals, both Nazi and Japanese war criminals, to the United States as part of Project Paperclip. And we're now seeing fallout from that from Army veterans who were then experimented on by these very same Nazis. In an article by Adan Salazar, says the Army continues to cover up secret experimentation 65 years later. They've got a lawsuit that was filed 5 years ago, still dragging through the courts because the DOD and the U.S. Army are attempting to delay a court order that would force them to provide certain notice to Vietnamese veterans, disclosing the extent to which they'd been secretly used as test subjects for experimentation. Now, this lawsuit says that with the help of Nazi scientists recruited through Project Paperclip, the Army and the CIA used at least 7,800 veterans as human guinea pigs at the Edgewood Arsenal in Maryland alone. That's just at one site they used 7,800 people. And of course, these are experiments that are part of MK Ultra, Operation Bluebird, Pandora, Monarch, all these familiar terms. Anybody that knows anything about the history of the CIA, the dark history of the CIA, things that came out during the Church Committee hearings in the 1970s. And the lawsuit goes on to say that the U.S. government sought drugs to control human behavior, cause confusion, promote weakness or temporary loss of hearing and vision, and many other effects. Now, when we look at what the Japanese government did and what they're being criticized for by the Chinese, that they would build a monument to honor war criminals, what did the U.S. do? We built a bureaucracy so that they could continue with their criminal behavior, continue with their experimentation on other humans. But this time they were experimenting on American soldiers, college volunteers, and, of course, prisoners that we have here in the United States. And we have more than any other country. But the experimentation continues. Now it's taking the form of another criminal bureaucracy, Homeland Security. And we see that Major League Baseball is playing ball with them, just like the NFL. Major League Baseball is preparing new DHS screening measures at all ballparks, writes Mikhail Phelan. He says that they just tested some of these last year, and the baseball representative is very excited. He says, we conducted testing of these measures at the All-Star Game and at both World Series venues last year, and we were pleased that it was effective and received without issue from the fans. That's right. They just passively went along with the new control techniques like good servants who have been confused and had their behavior modified. This is nothing but operant conditioning behavior, straight from Skinner. They start at the airports, and then they go to the ball games because they know that when you're ready to travel, they can give you a nice reward if you behave the way they want you to. It's nice, positive operant conditioning. And they do the same thing now at all major league sports. They're bringing that in. They're gradually rolling out. But it's not going to be just all nice, positive conditioning. There's going to be some consequences when they start rolling this out all over. They're going to take the gloves off at that point. And we now have a major new voice that is slamming what the NSA is doing. Now, we've had senators, we've had NSA whistleblowers, and now we've got a new board, which I'd never even heard of before. It's called the Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board. Now, one of the reasons you haven't heard of this, probably, is because they were created back in 2004. They were originally just dismissed as a propaganda arm of the Bush administration. But then they went through a reform in 2007, and what happened at that time was they got a little bit more independent. They were appointed by Senate confirmation. Still, they never met until November, this last November, 2013. Now, this is what they had to say. They said, only minimal benefits in counterterrorism efforts have come from the bulk collection of phone call records, that it's illegal and it should be shut down. And they say it lacks a viable legal foundation under Section 215. That's Section 215 of the Patriot Act. See, it's not even authorized under the Patriot Act, as bad as the Patriot Act is. But they go on. They say it implicates constitutional concerns under the First and Fourth Amendments, raises serious threats to privacy and civil liberties as a policy matter, and has shown only limited value. As a result, the board recommends that the government end the program. How about that? Same recommendation that we have about that. It's clear to everyone that it's a violation of the First and Fourth Amendment. You have to have a search warrant. You have to have cause. We've had whistleblowers who have gone to the mat, and yet we still have people like Bill Gates and others who are saying that we need to trade off our privacy for security. Well, you'll never have security if you don't have privacy and freedom. And there's some people who understand this in the Ukraine. We see a lot of reports coming out of very violent revolution going on there, fighting in the streets. It looks like some kind of a post-apocalyptic scene. They've created their own versions of makeshift riot gear. Take a look at some of these things they've got here. Motorcycle helmets they're using, shields, clubs that they've made. They've even got slingshots, catapults, trebuchets. Both the police and the rioters are throwing Molotov cocktails at each other. And we've had hundreds of people injured on both sides. We've had at least five protesters killed. One has been allegedly killed by a police sniper. This is amazing. Why do these people want to get into the EU so bad? Well, the answer is that they don't necessarily want to get into the EU as badly as they want to get away from Russia. Two generations ago, they suffered from something called the Holodomor. Now, this was actually a Soviet genocide in the Ukraine. This was talked about by a man named Raphael Lemkin, who actually coined the term genocide. And he used Stalin's genocide against the Ukraine as a definition of what genocide was, a perfect example of it. And he said the Soviet genocide in the Ukraine followed a four-pronged attack. Now, here's the four prongs that they did. And look and see if this sounds familiar to what's going on in America today. Number one, they took out the intellectual leadership. Number two, they co-opted the churches. They said, you either become loyal to the Russian government or we're going to shut you down. The third thing they did was they destroyed the food supply. And that was the main way that they killed most of the people, was with a horrific famine in the Ukraine. And the last thing he did was he fragmented the Ukrainian people by adding to the Ukraine other people from outside the area. This is exactly what we see happening here. And if we don't want to see these kind of post-apocalyptic pictures happening here, we need to do everything we can to keep these kinds of scenes from happening in the U.S. Now, if it happens here, it's going to be something called democide, where the government kills the people. It's not going to be directed at any particular ethnic group or nationality. It'll be against everyone. So we all need to join to make sure this doesn't happen. Now, right after the break, Leanne McAdoo has a special report about Disney's RFID and how they're going to use that to train your children to live in a police state. And Glenn Trolls, one of our new crew members here, who you might remember went to California with Jakari Jackson and others. He lived in California for several years. He's going to tell us what his exposure there showed in his blood. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
My friends, Alex Jones here to tell you about some of the most important information concerning you and your family's health. Radiation levels have more than doubled in the last 60 years in the Northern Hemisphere from all of the nuclear testing and radiological accidents. Radioactive contamination is now in most of the food supply. There's only two ways to avoid this. Move south of the equator or properly protect your thyroid with Nascent Iodine. Looking to protect my family, I've done deep research. Nascent Iodine is the purest, cleanest, absolute best form of iodine to protect yourself and your family. It's made right here in the USA, completely non-GMO. I searched out the best quality and now have developed a double-strength form of Nascent Iodine, exclusively available at InfoWarsLife.com. Nascent Iodine is on record as one of the only safe ways to detox from fluoride poisoning. Survival Shield Nascent Iodine. Secure your super high-quality Nascent Iodine today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Introducing Pro One. All of your filtration in one system, portable, on the go. No more do you have two or three filters to just reduce sodium fluoride. You have a system that cuts out the sodium fluoride and up to 95% of hydrofluorosilicic acid. Advanced manufacturing technology combines silver impregnated white ceramic with new Aquamedics advanced media for removal of fluoride and other heavy metals, all in one filter element. It is the only one that does it, and out of the gates, we have it discounted at 10% off with promo code WATER. This is the only system that in one unit helps reduce or remove pesticides, herbicides, chloramines, ammonia, and chlorine, hydrofluorosilicic acid, the most common form of fluoride not covered by other fluoride filter brands, and sodium hexafluorosilicate. Get your Pro Pure with a new Pro One filter today at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling 888-253-3139.
Well, the latest propaganda effort to introduce your children to the new totalitarian society comes by way of Disney. They've unveiled a new cartoon series where camera-equipped ladybugs spy on kids and then report back to a central authority.
Never fear whenever she's near.
Shutterbug time, shutterbug time.
This is predictive programming to get your children to accept the coming drone surveillance police state. We warned you about this way back in 2007. DARPA researchers were figuring out how to inject computer chips into moth pupa and then hatching them into healthy cyborg moths. The Hybrid Insect Microelectromechanical Systems Project aims to create literal shutterbugs, camera-toting insects whose nerves have grown into their internal silicone chip so that wranglers can control their activities. Unfortunately, the coming drones won't be friendly little ladybugs. They'll be swarms of killer suicide drones intent on killing anyone who doesn't surrender power to the state.
Unobtrusive, pervasive, lethal. Micro-air vehicles, enhancing the capabilities of the future warfighter.
The U.S. Air Force is developing tiny unmanned drones that will fly in swarms, crawl like spiders, and even sneak up on unsuspecting targets and execute them with lethal precision. Disney's Shutterbug isn't the only cartoon that's out there acclimating your children to this dystopic future. The TSA's rolled out their own indoctrination cartoon, Stop Screen Go, the agency that was set up to purposely obstruct, harass, and train the American public, will now condition your children to be compliant with their invasive pat-downs and wholly ineffective nude body scanners. And Disney's also showing that being perpetually tracked via biometrics is just part of another day at the happiest place on Earth. The CIA-connected company has moved beyond just fingerprint scanners at the front gate. Now they have the Magic Band RFID bracelet. It tracks you through your entire trip, working as a door key, a ticket, and a credit card. But most frightening, it creates an online profile for each family member that can be accessed by the costumed characters. So if you were concerned before about your kids talking to strangers, just wait till you find out that Mickey is actually a middle-aged man with no background check who now has access to their name and birth date.
The facts are in. The studies are legion. Sodium fluoride and other toxic members of the fluoride family are devastating the health and cognitive ability of the American people. So why are the social engineers adding it to the water? Simple. Dumb down the host population that the parasitic technocracy is feeding on. We may not have been able to get fluoride out of the water supply yet, but we can help to get it out of our bodies. I am extremely excited to announce the exclusive InfoWars Life Fluoride Shield formula. Fusing six of the best documented ingredients from around the world to help the body remove not just toxic fluoride residues from the body, but a whole host of toxic substances. Let's take a stand against the globalists by blocking their poisons with Fluoride Shield. I use Fluoride Shield every day. Secure your Fluoride Shield and other pioneering formulations at InfoWarsLife.com today. Let's start cleansing our bodies now and support the InfoWar at the same time. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. And the InfoWars army is standing strong. Wake up your family, friends, and neighbors and break the matrix at InfoWarsStore.com. Learn the truth and spread the message of liberty with the world's most comprehensive collection of books and documentary films. Maintain a healthy metabolism and energize your body to perform at peak health with Survival Shield Nascent Iodine. Protect your family and be prepared with survival foods and emergency preparedness kits. And now you can drink safe water with your own ProPure water filtration system, which removes fluoride and other harmful chemicals from your family's water supply. Save 10% with the promo code WATER. So join the revolution. InfoWarsStore.com.
Welcome back. Now, joining us tonight is Glenn Trolls. He's a photojournalist, and he just recently joined us here at InfoWars, fellow InfoWarrior. And he was telling us about some of his health challenges that he'd been through. And when we heard the story, we said, you've got to go on the air and tell other people about this because a lot of other people are facing similar things, and they need to know what's worked for you. So, Glenn, tell us a little bit about what happened with you. What was your condition? And you went to regular doctors for a while, and tell us what happened.
Yes, David, I was diagnosed at the University of Michigan with ankylosing spondylitis, which is a pretty severe condition. I mean, my prognosis was quite bleak, as the doctor said. He told me that I could expect that, at best, I would have at least several of my vertebrae fused permanently in my back. And I remember when he did give me that diagnosis, I wasn't at all surprised because I can remember quite clearly it felt like someone had been injecting acid right into my spinal column. It was very, very
tough. So what did he do for you? What did he prescribe?
Well, I mean, he had told me that, you know, the only way I could go were these medications, which were like Indocin, and I think some of the side effects of Indocin immediately were stomach upset, ulcers. I got these right away. It didn't take long. And I had him switch me to methotrexate, which is a cancer drug. And that drug was so strong that they had to reduce the dose and raise the dose. I was on all kinds of kidney and liver function tests. But I know some of these were really harsh drugs, and I was getting a lot of problems from them.
And they weren't really helping you with the underlying causes, right? It's just essentially masking the
symptoms. No, they were masking. They were definitely masking the symptoms, but at the meantime, they were causing other things to occur.
Exactly.
For
and that's what we see happen all the time. Well, what happened to get you off of that, and what did you do to get off of that?
Well, after taking those things, injections for about 10 years, you know, I decided that I was going to fire my MD because, you know, I have to credit that phrase and that movement towards the show because I learned from the guests on the show that that's what you need to do is you get rid of the allopathic doctors and replace them with naturopathic doctors and whole foods and different things like that. So I really wanted to credit the show for that awakening in me.
Because they're trying to get to the root cause. They're not just trying to mask the symptoms again, as we're
absolutely
about.
Because the masking of the symptoms all the while, you're getting sicker and sicker. Your liver is getting more damaged. These are cytotoxic chemicals going into your body constantly. And I did that, and I was getting sicker and sicker, heavier and heavier. And it was just, when I did quit, I went cold turkey off all drugs, all docs, all MDs, and my family thought I was crazy. They're, well, what are you doing? You know, you're like, you're getting sicker. You know, they saw my decline, and it was, I was declining at first.
So you've been under standard medical care. They've given you some meds that are going to mask the symptoms, but then they create all these other new health problems. Weight gain being just one of many more serious health problems. What did you do to change this and turn it around? What was it?
Well, I replaced my allopathic physician with a naturopath. I asked them what these medicines are going to do. What are the side effects they're not telling me? They said the side effects of these medicines are death. And I took that pretty much to heart right away. And I got on a modified Max Gerson diet plan, which is elimination of meats and carbs and sugars and all pretty much all manner of things that are unhealthy and unnatural and processed. And spent a lot of time at the farmer's markets getting organic vegetables and juicing and making soups. And as I told you, that's where I had my big weight loss. But after that, I was still sick and still tired in a way that I wasn't prepared to feel, and I wasn't happy with that.
So then what did you do after that? You're still feeling tired?
Well, after that, I did some more blood work, and it told me that I was B12 deficient. I was anemic from trying to be a vegetarian, which I knew wasn't going to work with my body.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back to meats and some carbs like sweet potatoes, and I found that that gave me some energy, but I was still didn't have the energy I needed to work in production the way I want to. I'd have to take longer naps and breaks and between projects, and it wasn't the life I wanted. I was still living on Red Bull and Monster and all that until I started really addressing the thyroid. And the thyroid, I started taking porcine thyroid pills, liver pills, and I started realizing that was helping a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then fast forward to today or to December of last year, and I got this this test that Alex had talked about on air, and it, because my new naturopath told me that it looks like your symptoms are more related to heavy metal toxicity than anything else at this point. You've been down that road. You've done the footwork. You know, you've taken care of all you can. And, you know, I found these folks, and they're Christian folks, and I really believed what they said. So I went and did this quite costly lab test, which, you know, it was kind of a burden at the time, but I'm glad I did it because I was high in the big six toxic metals.
And what were they?
Well, aluminum, antimony, cadmium, and cesium, amazingly enough, and lead was very extremely high.
And your cesium, you live for the last couple of years in California, right?
So yeah, that's true.
That's
yeah,
another that's connection true. There.
Yeah, I lived on the coast of California, and since the Fukushima explosion out there, I've been exposed to whatever's coming through there. You know, in the second page of the report, it says environmental contamination by CS-137 as a result of radioactive fallout could be a concern. So I talked to my doctor, and he did tell me that, you know, you might have this from Fukushima or you might have this from anything. Mm-hmm. But I want to caution anybody that thinks that if they don't live in California, they don't have cesium. Because
right.
it's there's radon and there's other things in the earth.
That's right. There's a lot. Even if it's natural radiation, ionizing radiation is still radiation. I mean, it's very different from what you're going to get with electromagnetic radiation. But people are still concerned, like you said, about radon. We saw the beach there in California where it was up away from the water. It was very, very high. And then it dropped as they went down the water. So it wasn't necessarily from Fukushima in that particular spot, but it was still elevated levels. And people don't walk around with a Geiger counter knowing what they're being exposed to. So most people don't know what level of radiation they're being exposed to unless they do some kind of a test like this.
And maybe they should.
Yeah.
The doctor explained it to me like this. He said, imagine you're always going out with a credit card to the store and you're buying and buying and buying. It's like you're putting these toxins in your body and eventually your body can't take it anymore. You run out of your credit. Your credit limit's up. But now imagine you're starting to get these things out, like using Fluoride Shield or any of the products at InfoWarsLife.com. I mean, it's like you're now paying with cash, and your body's not going to work on credit. You know, you really have to get the toxins out for the vitamins to work because your body runs on enzymes, and if there's toxins there, the vitamins can't get to function properly and make the enzymatic reactions. So you need to have a compound approach to this. It needs to be the Fluoride Shield, the Survival Shield, and also the vitamins. And
it's kind of just the opposite of what we're usually talking about with iodine, where you want to try to fill your thyroid up with healthy iodine to prevent the radioactive cesium or strontium-90 or whatever to be absorbed by the thyroid. But the opposite is true as well. If you've got a lot of harmful chemicals that have filled up your organs, then you're not going to be able to get the good nutrition in. So that's why you need to find some way to purge it out.
A multi-pronged approach, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Well, thank you so much, Glenn. Hopefully that'll be of some help to people out there. Well, as Glenn pointed out to me when we were talking earlier, he said it's a long-term onset of these diseases and it was a long-term cure. But as he's pointed out, it's something that you can do. Take responsibility for your own life, for your own health. Educate yourself. Check out the products at InfoWarsLife.com. You'll find things there that can help you to purge toxins like Fluoride Shield and also essential nutrients at InfoWarsHealth.com, where you'll find vitamins that are essential to good health. Well, that's it for tonight. We'll be back tomorrow at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Now you can watch The Alex Jones Show live as it happens at InfoWars.com/show.
You'll find links to all of our content there and a free 15-day trial for Prison Planet TV.
More than 60 movies and documentaries all in one place at InfoWars.com/show.